there are some times after the Lord's table, one senses that they should stand up and give the benediction. This was one of those times. The value of the Lord, the pricelessness, the preciousness of the Lord, and to stop, hit that reset button, and be refocused. There's so much that grabs our attention each day, neutralizes that preciousness. Many times we don't even realize it. We're about good things, not realizing that what's really valuable is the Christ in each one of us. It's a little early for a fireside chat. Get my age, you think of just sitting down with the children and the grandchildren and just chatting. It's a little late for breakfast, so we'll have a spiritual brunch. I'm not going to preach. Just going to share what's on my heart. Turn with me to Psalms 11. Psalms 11, verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Or what have the righteous done? What can the righteous do? Well, there is an answer. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you. Christ in me. The hope of glory. Let's prepare our hearts. Father, we're thankful for the time around your table. We do thank you that there is an answer to the day in which we live. It's always been the same from the very beginning, and always will be the same to the very end. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ being all in all. May we know it. May we experience it each moment of the day, readying ourselves for your imminent return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The foundations have been destroyed. For the most part, must add that, because there's always a people, as we've even experienced this morning, who know in their heart, not just their head, that Christ is all in and all. And it gives us great hope as we think of all that is around us, all that is going on this globe. If we look too closely, we become confused like the world is. But I do appreciate always the Lord's wisdom in bringing us back each Sunday morning to the Lord's table. It's kind of like the ending of the week and the beginning of the new week. And it focuses us on the one reality of life. Ever since February of 1971, it'll be 52 years this next month, this word reality became very much a part of my life. I'd been a believer already for over 20 years. And what is life all about? I would hear the gospel Sunday morning and Sunday night, year in and year out, 18 years, 20 years, 2 years, till I was 29. But there seemed to be a missing link. And February, there was just that shaft of light that revealed that Christ is to be all in and all. And that began a journey. Being in business at that time, my center of focus was the reality of Christ in business. And it wasn't too long after that that the emphasis or reality became, became concerned about reality in marriage. Why was I kinder to staff than my own wife who I worked with? And the Lord just hit me with that question. And that followed by the reality of Christ in raising children. The reality of Christ in body life. It's been a wonderful journey, but as all of you have experienced, not an easy journey, because God loves us too much just to let us selfishly go through life, not even knowing we even have a self-life that dominates our whole being. Yes, I knew I was going to heaven. Yes, I knew I was forgiven. Two very important pillars in our walk. But there was something missing. And of course, in that search, the reality of Christ becomes more and more evident. And that's what I would like to just share this morning. This Christ, this life that is for the now, for the kingdom age, and for eternity. His life in us. We see very clearly, particularly in the Gospels, this life of Christ, how unique it was, how perfect it was, how he traveled through those first 30 years in such a magnanimous, wonderful, perfect way that before he even ministered, his deportment card, or as we used to say in grade school, report card, was announced from heaven. This is, and it already has been covered this morning in the Lord's table, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This man pleases me. This man is the delight of my heart. This is God. This is God the Father saying this. This is of a man who did the common things of life and did them right. As a son, as a sibling, as a servant to his father, everything was right. We have a religious word, a biblical word, righteousness. Righteous. It makes more of a reality to me just to think of right. His eyes looked rightly. Everything that came into his eyes, it covenanted with his father that I'm going to see right. I am going to hear right. I'm going to use these hands for you. Yes, receive a compliment from something that he might have made, but give all the glory to the Lord from what he did. He walked in the path of his father in all things, doing the father's will, not saying one thing that was opposed to the heavenly standard of his father. This is the righteousness, the right heart of the son. And through those 30 years in the common things, and I emphasize that word common because that's where you and I live. We live in the day-to-day, in the tedious things of life. Recently, a young man came to me. He's been in the workforce 2 years. I said, how are things going? Wow, this 5 to 8 thing, this is something else. Well, son, get used to it. Because this is life. Changing diapers, doing dishes. This is what makes up life. And actually, we can be a testimony in Jesus in this. And this is what the Lord was. He was a testimony to his Father, to everyone on earth, of what it meant to be righteous, diligent. He was diligent in everything he did. Particularly when he got into his ministry, we see that in the book of Mark. And immediately, the Lord, no procrastination, do the next thing, as our dear sister Elizabeth Elliot would say. The next thing. Now, don't wait. Don't back off. Diligent and, of course, love. A love that none of us will ever have in ourselves, naturally. Some are born with a personality, a motherly personality, can love the most unlovely person, but to a limitation, but not the Lord. It was a love that could reach out to the Mary Magdalene, could reach out to the woman at the well. Pharisees, the religious type, couldn't even be in the vicinity of these people. The Zacchaeuses, the Matthew, the tax collector, who the Jews did not really appreciate. This man reaches down and demonstrates a love, a perfect love, each day. Not only love, but there was that underlying foundation of humility. A humbleness, a lowliness, that really basically, brothers and sisters, the Lord works his entire life to bring us to that place of nothingness. In ourselves, we are nothing. Even Jesus recognized and became that cornerstone for us. And I can do nothing of myself. Our strength, of course, being in the Lord. Even going to the cross, we see that humility. Not defending, not blaming, something that, of course, all of us have to overcome. And many of us get to be very old, and we're still blaming, still being critical, making excuses for whatever. but it wasn't the Lord. And then there was a grace, a graciousness in our Lord that, again, we do not have naturally. He was disciplined in everything that he did. And truth, reality, represented everything. And so reality comes from one person, the Lord Jesus. Otherwise, everything is virtual. Everything is unreal. What we say, what we think, what we possess, what we want, what we desire, is actually, it's all going to burn. But there's one thing that's going to last, and that is Christ in us, the hope of satisfying the Father, the hope of pleasing the Father. We can be that delight. And so the Lord Jesus set the foundation for all of us so that we now can have his life. And those very characteristics that we just talked about, incidentally, those are the seven pillars in that little book of Proverbs, wisdom in building the church. That's the foundation of building the church. Found there in Proverbs 9:1, those seven pillars. For us, the followers, first of all, we're often ignorant of our condition. And the Lord has to deal with us. And one of the things that he uses, of course, is his word. He uses the Holy Spirit, but he uses an environment. An environment that often is not pleasant. We use that word, a Job job. None of us like that. We think that was for Job. That's the oldest book in the Bible. But you have to ask the question, why would the oldest book in the Bible be Job? Why would that book be so long? Why would there be so many chapters on this discourse? Job, his friends, back and forth, back and forth. And it's very important to understand, it's representative for all of us. For when God does his dealings, a Job job with each of us, I have yet not seen a person who didn't squirm, who did not question, what's happening? What did I do? What's wrong? I thought I was walking right. I thought I was doing right. What? Why this hurricane in my life? This tornado? Everything's being stirred up. What? It's God's love. God does not want us to remain infantile, childish, wanting our own way, being vindictive. With everything that happens in our life, explaining, having to explain, making excuses, going home, telling our spouse, you can't imagine what happened at work today. If you only knew what happened. Brothers and sisters, we're in the devil's world. The confusion didn't start 2 years ago. It started long before that, long even before Noah's time. And there wasn't much happening good in Noah's day. But there is an answer. And we immediately come back to the Lord Jesus Christ being the answer for this day and age we live in. The foundations being Christ, being the ministry of the Holy Spirit, being of the living Word. Brothers and sisters, this is the living Word. This is Christ living, Christ personified, Christ breath, breathe. God breathes His Son into us. It's not something that we just take and we read a verse and it says, oh, that's a good verse. I am going to try to obey that. Wrong. I know we've just had a January 1st New Year. And I hope no one hearing my voice this morning made a resolve that you've already failed. The good news is, in about 9 days, will be the lunar calendar year, and you'll get another opportunity to make a resolve. But let me be quick to say, it doesn't work. It does not work. None of us have that discipline that the Lord Jesus had as He tapped into the Father's resources. And now we can, in Ephesians 1:3, all the spiritual resources of heaven are yours and mine. Are we laying hold of it? Is it a reality in our life? In the daily things, we need wisdom, we need joy, we need peace, we need rest, we need humility. There it is. But any time we think we can try hard, we fail. Try hard Christianity does not work. It never has worked. But it's one of the key factors of failure in our walk with the Lord is that we read something, oh, that's good. I'm going to try and do that. But we can't. The Word is living. So we take a verse like Psalm 119:11. Thy Word, Christ, the living Word, will keep me from sin. Thy Word, Christ, I have hid in my heart. Is the Lord Jesus hidden in our hearts this morning? Is He the living, or is it just for 2 hours? An hour and a half football. We'll touch on that a little bit later. The Word is the foundation. Christ, the foundation. Ministered by the Holy Spirit. Are we walking in the Spirit? Are we walking in our own person? In our own self? In our own life? In our own desires? Our own wants? That which pleases us. You know, brothers and sisters, we're thankful for the American dream. But the American dream has so undercut our walk with the Lord in so many ways. Materialism, things. It's a wonderful thing, our Constitution, to have those privileges, to have that freedom that we have. But there is a cycle in history. And it's gone over and over many times. When people are in want, when they are in need, when there's pressure, when there are problems, what do? We look up. When we're full, we just look at our tummies. We don't look to the Lord. We're not dependent upon the Lord. We become independent. So the very thing that is a blessing becomes our Achilles heel. But the living Word, this foundation, this light, Jesus is the light of the world. This light is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Oh, do we need that lamp today, Christ? taking the step ahead of us and us following. We denying ourselves. And taking up our cross, which simply means just obeying. Through that valley of the shadow of death, those problems that are mounting. Many times a person could be told that when they're going through deep problems, and often chronic, one thing after another, it's the children, it's finance, it's work, it's health issues, one after another. It could be said, one sense, the Lord really cares for you. The Lord is shepherding you. He's strengthening you. And on the other sense, it could mean we're just very stubborn. And he's having to just clobber us over the head again and again and again. We're not sensitive. We're not repenting. Our repentance becomes one of the very keys of our walk with the Lord. So the word being talked to us by the Holy Spirit, made real in our life, this foundation. It is so founding. You know, it's very easy to fall into a trap. Get up in the morning. I'm going to read Psalm 23 today. Proverbs 23. So that I can finish it in 1 month. And it takes me 6.5 minutes. I read it. Think, well, I've done that. There's a sort of assuaging the conscience. I've had my quiet time. But at best, it's entered the mind only. A fallen mind. Instead of the heart. Lord, speaking to the heart. And I dare say, when the Lord speaks to that 23rd chapter, you will repent. I will repent. Because it refers to a fool. Oh, that's not me. How many times do we read the Bible? Anything negative. Someone else. Oh, we immediately think of who that applies to. But not ourselves. Reading it, Lord, why do you have that word fool? And that's repeated again. And it's repeated again. Why do you have King Saul? Why do you have Peter who denied the Lord? The Pharisees. Have we ever read ourselves into the Pharisees? As being a Pharisee, I hope so. Otherwise, we'll just stay in this religious, unreal world that most of us live in as believers when we have such an inheritance. How can we be his inheritance if we haven't inherited? I love that verse in Obadiah 17. I shouldn't take a chance on trying to find Obadiah, should I? Verse 17, but on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. We're under the throne of Christ. We're in his presence on Mount Zion. We have come to Mount Zion, Hebrews says, 12. There shall be deliverance. Oh, how we need to be delivered from this world. It's just not people with addictions that have to. We're all addicted to this world. And there needs to be a deliverance. And it happens in Christ. The hope of glory on Mount Zion. The fullness of Christ. And there shall be holiness. Something, brothers and sisters. It came up this morning a couple of times in the Lord's table. Something that's totally missing in our gatherings. Holiness. And the grieving of the Spirit that takes place so often. Idle talk. Trivia. Things that take us away from why we're here, to grow up, to come into our heavenly position. Not live in the clouds. We're living down here, but as heavenly people, delivered from self, delivered from sin, delivered from this world. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. That's Christ. That's the fullness of Christ. It's to be a reality today. Paul came into it when he wrote Philippians. What was his environment when he wrote the Philippians? Rejoice. Rejoice in all things. Joy. Joy. Is this a pipe dream? Are we on planet Earth confused? As our brother John Blanchard said, I think December 26th, standing right here, right has become wrong, and wrong has become right. Why? Because we've lost the source. We've lost the beginning. We will never come to the end, the right end. If you lose the beginning, if you lose the foundation, and that's, of course, where we are. But we have foundations. We have Christ. We have the Word. We have the Holy Spirit. And we have body life. No one will ever come into the fullness of Christ without loving one another, without being built together. That word built is just two words, really. Love and life. Resurrection life and love. When you have two people that are one with one another, you're the body of Christ. There's life. There's resurrection. His life, those pillars are inside a person. And they come in relationship with another person, with humility, with God's love, with God's truth, God's diligence, God's righteousness, God's holiness. And you have something very, using the word of the day, precious. Very precious. It's what God has counted on all his life. There's only really one thought on God's mind, and that is the people that Matthew 22:35-40, love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love one another. That is the one thought that God is possessed with. Nations come and go. What we see, what we read about, what we hear about, they come and go. But then there's a person like Paul who is so clear. It's interesting, he never talks about Rome. I preach Christ and crucified. Rome wasn't on his radar. Just one thought. Just one thought. The house of God. God's people. That's the pillar. That's where there's covering. That's where there's protection. That's where we're tested. Tested. That's where we learn to pray. Because the house is spiritual. It is, God is spirit. His house is spiritual. And you and I can't fix spiritual things. We can't counsel spiritual things. We can't even stand up here and minister spiritual things. God has to do it. So why did we pray at the beginning? God has to do it. Man can't do it. Man can't. I can't even take care of my own problems. God has to do it. So how do I do that? I pray. This house is not a house of evangelism. It's not a house of preaching. It's not platforming. It's a house of prayer. Out of that comes ministry. Out of that comes evangelism. But it's not the cornerstone. It's a house of prayer where we're totally dependent upon the Lord to do this. This. Inch by inch. 3 inches forward, 2 back. And not quitting. Staying in the race. Going forward. Yeah. This is the foundations that God has given us. And that we can come into the fullness of it. And those various characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ become ours by faith. Laying hold of. Repenting. Turning from that. Thank you, Lord. You are love. Forgive me for being not compassionate to that person, overlooking that person, thinking I am better, and saying, but you are love. It's your love being expressed through me, through us. This is the foundation. It takes perseverance, brothers and sisters. God has to do it. But he will. He wants to. It's his heart. All he's looking for is a people that are abandoned to him. That are given to him moment by moment by moment. I can't emphasize that enough. There's great opposition, brothers and sisters. A verse over in a Song of Solomon. Some of you have heard me mention this. Song of Solomon 2:15. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. I appreciate that word, little. If you've ever seen a couple pups, foxes, frolic, that's all they can do. They either sleep or they're frolicking. You get two raising chickens on the range. I've been aware of this more than once, of the damage, particularly the mother fox can do. But here we have these little foxes that are opposed to this inheritance that we have in Christ. The answer to everything every one of us have. Each one of us could right now put a list on the wall. This is what I am faced with. This is my surrounding, my family, the surrounding things that are happening. And it would be a very sobering list. But there's an answer. And it is the Lord. But the enemy is ever waiting, looking, prowling around, trying to deceive, trying to devour, trying to swallow up what God is doing. I made a list of things. I made this some time ago recently. It just came to my mind again as I was thinking about today. What are these little foxes? Well, when we get to Luke 17 in the days of Noah, it was food. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. In the days of Lot, they were eating food. So something as necessary as food becomes the potential. And you say, well, I don't really understand. Well, just go out to dinner with someone, and as they're bringing in this sumptuous servings, what is the conversation for the next hour? Food. Eating. Have you gone to this restaurant? Have you tasted this? We become occupied with it. Is there anything wrong with food, eating? Of course not. But it had become important in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot, and today. Food becomes one of those little foxes. So subtle. This is why there in when Jesus comes off of Mount Transfiguration, and the disciples have tried to exercise this demon in this child. And Jesus, of course, rebukes them, and he says, this comes out only by what? Prayer and fasting. But fasting is not only just food. And I'm going to just make a list of things just to leave something in our minds that we would see the seriousness of these little foxes. These little foxes really keep us from coming into the fullness of what God intended. Many, many times. The word here, family. Is family important? Very important. It becomes our life. Children, grandchildren, become occupied with them. They become occupied where we miss gatherings because of family. And what is our foundation? The gathering. Gathering together. Friends. Friends are wonderful, but they can become a little fox. I've got to answer this. I've got to do this. I've got to, this is going to interfere with my quiet time. Nothing is more important than spending time in the Word, morning, noon, and night. Always coming back, letting the Lord minister to us in the thick of the battle. Fame. Oh, how we like to become famous. It can become a desire of our heart. But instead of desiring to be loved by the Lord and to love Him, to be captured, just to be captured by what our brother John was speaking, this preciousness of the Lord. We do see through a glass darkly, but there's a shaft of light. When he sees the desire of our heart, he opens a window. It becomes a larger window when there is that desire. And fame is not out there. I hope there's no one that wants to become famous in any way. Even famous and ministering the word, counseling or whatever. No. We are to be a humble people. God's humbleness. Not a pious phoniness, but His piety in us. Fame, fortune, finances. fortune, finance, money. I dare say I'll pull out both six shooters at the same time. Billfold, wallet, and this. Two deadly, deadly things that have done more to hinder our growth than maybe anything else. This can be a wonderful slave. But the sad thing is, the information here mainlines, using a drug term, mainlines not to the mind, to the heart of each one of our children. This becomes the substitute for this. This has to be a slave of Christ. Not we're a slave to it. Our slave as we are hidden in Christ. Football. You notice all these are starting with F. We chuckle, but it's serious. Much time. Sports, entertainment, all the things that we deal with, just the monetary things, possessions, everything in this world has a spirit behind it. That's why we're excited. You can turn on a game, you don't care who it is, in 2 minutes you're glued. It's supposed to do that. There's a competitiveness. And you're drawn to it. One is drawn to it. The commercial is to do that. It's drawn to it. And because it's a spirit of cosmos. It's a spirit of the world that pulls, that draws. And we have to be so careful. I'm not talking about being legalistic here. I'm not talking, we have a freedom. But if our freedoms are not sanctified, if our minds are not sanctified, our emotions and desires are not sanctified, we move into an area that compromises, grieves the spirit, yes, even quenches the spirit. And so the liveliness, what we saw for a glimpse this morning around the table, all of a sudden, 4 o'clock this afternoon, it's the last thought. Dinner is precious. Food. We have friends coming over. And so we become occupied with secondary, tertiary things that move us ever so slightly. You know, the little foxes, they're just frolicking. It's very innocent. But they're damaging those little petals, those little buds, those little flowers that are so tender at that developmental stage that the fruit becomes obsolete. There is no fruit. It's blighted by entertainment, by these various things. Fun. We're just having fun. What are we doing? Hanging out, having fun. Fashion. Again, the world of fashion, and the world's learned it. Fashion pulls at our heartstring. We don't have to dress like a bag lady. It's not even the point. The point is, nothing is to be important in our life. If there's anything more important than the Lord Jesus, we are drifting. As Hebrews 2:1, drifting away. Not even knowing it. Knowing that, oh, there's Niagara Falls. Boom. Fads. Trendy. Fads. It grabs, it's got a spirit. It'll grab certain. You say, well, that's not my problem. something in this list is our problem. And if you are not, if you don't think so, then you have a bigger problem. I have a bigger problem. I'm not preaching. This is for me. I'm talking to myself this morning. This is something that the Lord is dealing. These things, as was said yesterday in a letter, results in a little flicker in our life. Just a flicker. And it's not a testimony. The world doesn't know what Christ looks like from being around us. Can't tell. Because we blend. Chameleon. We just blend in to the surroundings. Friend of everybody. Don't want to upset the apple cart. FOMO. Fear of missing out. FOMO. Fear of missing out. I might just use even that word, say something about that word fear. Fear is more than just a little fox. It's sin. And anytime we're fearful of anything coming down the pike, we have forgotten the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. You could use that little phrase as a great thesis for a spiritual PhD. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's a tremendous statement. It's, of course, the thesis statement for the gospel of the Old Testament. What is the gospel of the Old Testament? Psalm 23. It's all there. Everything is there. Even to the end, only goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And I will what? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What's God's purpose? What's his plan? That we dwell with him. Facebook. Not legalistic. Not saying you can't have Facebook. Facebook needs to be a ministry, not your face. God works our entire life to get our face out of the picture. The world comes in and has Facebook. I need my face to be, I need to be seen. I need, want people to see where I have been. Taunting. Oh, I hope people can tell how, what I have, what I possess, where I have been. Paste it. And the Lord comes along and says, no, I don't want that. I just want Christ in you. I want you to disappear. That's what he's saying to us. And we come along and come up with something like Facebook. The whole social media is promoting man. The firm, the factory, this is where we work. The firm, the factory, do we bring our work home or are we making tents? We're to make tents. We're not to make $1 million. We're to pay the rent. We're to buy some gas, buy food. And shelter. And the Lord will provide those things. The righteous do not beg bread. They don't have to be afraid. We don't have to sell our soul to the workplace. When we seek first the King, His kingship, you know, it's amazing how we just stumble over the simplicity of the gospel. That's why I entitled this, the Simplicity and Profoundness of the Gospel. To seek first the King. And what does it say? Shelter, transportation, food will all be taken care of. These other things are taken care of. Simple faith. But oh, how we will dodge the king. How we will do anything other. We will Google every answer, seek every way to make more money, eke out this, live in a higher, bigger, higher place. And we disobey. We don't seek the king first. Feelings. Oh, how easy it is to get our feeling there. We can walk out of here today and someone not look at us, I'm not going back there anymore. The simplest little thing, real or imagined. Maybe the person is shunning you. So what? Suffer for Christ. It's a privilege. But not easy for the flesh. The flesh will come up with excuses, and then we gossip to our spouse, the family about it, and you got what, does James say? A forest fire. And it goes crazy. And all of a sudden, someone's gone. For the most ridiculous thing. But it's a little fox. Just a little fox has crept in and neutralizes our relationship with the Lord. And of course, fretting. And if fretting's not enough, form. We fall into a form. The word came up this morning, I appreciate it. Common. There's not one of us. I don't care how many times you've come in here around this Lord's table, there's not one of us that do not have to go to the Lord and cry out to the Lord, make this table real. We want it, but we have to cry out. We need a spirit. Or otherwise, we're just going to do what the universal church is basically done. Just, well, let's have it in Christmas. We said we're to have it. And then it means probably nothing. It's through repentance, brothers and sisters, admitting where we are, that we get to reality. And it's a day-to-day thing. These foxes are there this afternoon, this evening. We just can't ride on, we had a good time. We've done our nod to God thing. And now we're just free. No, it doesn't work that way. It's a relationship. It's an intimacy. It's a moment by moment just talking to the Lord. Even booting up. Oh, there's a computer. Or you can talk to the Lord while you're booting up. Driving. This driver. What? Pulling our hair out instead of praying for that person. What did Paul mean when he said, pray without ceasing? What does that mean? It means pray without ceasing. It's just that simple. We're talking to the Lord all the time. I see a lot of gray hair, a lot of haircuts like mine this morning, which means we have children, we have grandchildren, some great-grandchildren. They've been brought in to a very similar age as the day of Noah and Lot. And that's not a stretch of an imagination at all. At all. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to have to kill a lot of foxes. We're going to have to restore those foundations. They're going to become real. Not by resolve. Well, I'm going to read tomorrow morning, and I'm going to read from my heart. No. You've got to say, I can't. You and I don't have a spirit to do that. I'm going, no. No. It's when we come empty. Totally bankrupt. every morning, at noon, at night, bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt. Lord, you're the answer for me, for my marriage, family, children, grandchildren, the body of Christ. You're the answer, the only answer. It's always been that way. That's what we're created for, to be his body. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that you have summed up all things in your Son. He is, and we declare right now, he is the all and in all. We are a worm at best. We're dust. But Lord, we're thankful that you breathe into that dust. Hour by hour, as we submit to thee, as we recognize our need, our total dependence upon thee, you breathe life into us. And we do not have to be a slave to this world. We do not have to be a slave to the enemy. We do not have to be a slave to sin, this self-life, this flesh. But Lord, you lift us above it. Thank you, for you are the foundation of our faith in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.